A judge ordered a former university student to pay regulators more than $500,000 for allegedly posting messages about stocks on the internet so he could profit from ensuing buyers or selling sprees. The Securities and Exchange Commission contends that Raphael Sholian, 26, sought to manipulate the price of five stocks while he was a student at University of California in Los Angeles. Sholian created false online identities on university computers, then posted hundreds of false messages about the stocks on internet bulletin boards and chat rooms, the SEC said in its civil complaint. Sholian gained more than $410,000 from the stock sales and spread the funds among 21 bank and brokerage accounts he controlled with his father, Samuel Sholian, and brother, Rabin Sholian, the SEC said. District Court Judge Consuelo B. Marshall ordered the Sholians to pay the government $534,408.72, including $114,297.38 in interest and a $10,000 civil penalty against Raphael Sholian. Environmentalists are steamed about one movie studio's attempt to market home movies to the public. FlexPlay and Buena Vista Home Entertainment, a division of Disney, have announced that they'll sell DVDs of popular movies that, once opened, can be viewed for 48 hours, then tossed in the trash. Dubbed the EZD, the product will be in test markets in August. It's designed to appeal to those who want to simplify their renting experience, eliminating worries about late fees or scratches. After the EZD is opened, consumers can view the film as often as they like for a two-day period. After 48 hours, the bonding resin on the DVD reacts to the atmosphere around it, making the disc unusable. The movies are wrapped in packaging similar to that used in the food service industry, so this chemical reaction doesn't begin until after the package is opened. And a number of spam-related stories coming to the News Brief's desk this week as the war on spam gains momentum. Microsoft is proposing a new legislative approach to battling junk email, hoping to bridge a widening gap between various industry and consumer groups that threatens to bog down congressional efforts to eradicate spam. Like several bills already proposed or being drafted, the software giant wants increased penalties for the fraudulent practices of many spammers who peddle diet fads, get-rich-quick schemes, and pornography. But the company is also pushing for an electronic seal of approval system for all email marketing to ensure that legitimate marketers meet high standards and to help consumers weed out unsavory or unwanted spam. Under the company plan, unsolicited commercial email would have to be labelled with ADV, short for advertisement, a system used in some states and proposed in a bill by Senator Charles E. Schumer, Democrat of New York. The new wrinkle, however, is that companies could forego that label if they join a trusted sender program that mandated email marketing rules, such as ensuring that consumers are removed from mailing lists if they request it. The rules would be sent to industry and technology groups administered by a third party and overseen by the Federal Trade Commission, said Ira Rubenstein, Microsoft Associate General Counsel. The proposal comes at a time of heightened attention on Capitol Hill to spam. The Senate Commerce Committee held a hearing last week on the problem after two of its members recently joined forces to introduce legislation. Previous attempts in Congress to regulate junk email failed, but with spam now accounting for roughly 40% of all email traffic, analysts expect some form of legislation to pass this year. Lobbyists for the technology, internet access, marketing, and retail industries, as well as consumer groups, are working to influence the crafting of various bills. And the California State Senate has approved a bill that would make it illegal for people to send unsolicited email advertising and allows people to sue spammers. If the bill, which now goes to the California Assembly, becomes law, it would be one of the strictest anti-spam measures in the United States. Governor Gray Davis has taken no position on the measure. The measure, which was approved by a vote of 21-12 last week, would require internet marketers to get advance approval from email recipients if they didn't already have a business relationship with them. Currently, California law requires spammers to include ADV in the subject line of their email so people will know that it's an advertisement. The law also requires spammers to stop sending the emails after recipients ask them to, or face a $1,000 fine. The new opt-in bill puts the burden on internet marketers to get approval to spam consumers, rather than forcing people to ask to be removed from the spam list after the fact. Under the new bill, a judge can triple the $500 fine if it's determined that the spam sender willfully and knowingly violated the California law. The measure is modelled on a federal law banning junk faxes that allows consumers to sue fax spammers for $500 per fax. And in Britain, the increasingly important issue of unsolicited junk email will be examined in depth at a series of events in London this summer. Derek Wyatt, MP, a long-time campaigner for tougher action against spam, especially pornographic emails, has organised a spam summit, which will take place on the 1st of July. This will be followed by three evidence sessions later that month. Wyatt said the focus of the event would be on policy and technology issues. E-commerce Minister Stephen Timms will open the summit, and Wyatt hopes that US and European politicians with responsibility for internet issues will also attend. To Australia now, and one of the New South Wales Industrial Relations Commissioners, Elizabeth Bishop, has a message for employers and employees who use mobile phone text messaging to end employment arrangements. Stop! At a preliminary hearing last week into an unfair dismissal action brought by John Eade, who alleged his former employer, JNI Traffic Control, sacked him via SMS, Commissioner Bishop took the modern messaging culture to task. While Mr. Eade's industrial advocate said the method of dismissal was undignified and humiliating, Commissioner Bishop commented it was equally inappropriate for employees to use SMS messaging for important communication. I have had SMS sent by employees to employers, and I've been very critical, she said. The commissioner heard that Mr. Eade worked casually with the company from June last year to February this year as a traffic controller in a road gang. She was told there was a long phone call between Mr. Eade and one of the directors, and the following day he received the SMS. It reads, "It's official. You, the letter U, no longer work for JNI Traffic Control, and you, again the letter U, have forfeited, spelled the number 4, F-I-D-E-D, any arrangements made." A solicitor for JNI, Catherine Dent, said that in retrospect, the company regretted using SMS, which it contended was to confirm Mr. Eade's resignation the previous day. The case was settled. But the power of SMS in employment may be difficult to stop. John Hart, the chief executive officer of the industry body Restaurants and Catering Australia, said SMS was the best way to contact staff, most of whom were in the key SMS demographic of 18 to 25. A Los Angeles man is suing Microsoft and Best Buy, claiming the companies fraudulently charged Best Buy customers for MSN internet access accounts they never signed up for. The lawsuit, filed in Los Angeles County Superior Court, seeks to be certified as a class action complaint. The plaintiff, Samuel Kim, said he made a purchase at a Best Buy electronics store in February. As part of a promotion with Microsoft, Best Buy gave him a free trial compact disc for internet access through Microsoft's MSN service, the suit said. At the checkout, the CD was scanned for inventory purposes, the complaint alleged. But Kim's suit contends that information from the CD, as well as the customer's credit or debit card, automatically triggered MSN to create an internet access subscription in the plaintiff's name. Once the free trial period ended, MSN charged his account, even though Kim never activated a subscription, the complaint said. The suit seeks to represent California consumers who had MSN accounts established for them through the scanning of a Best Buy trial CD since May 6, 1999. The suit seeks an injunction against the companies, repayment of the amounts billed to consumers, as well as profits earned through the practice. Fewer internet veterans wish to upgrade their dial-up lines to high-speed service in a sign that the residential broadband market is beginning to stabilise, a new study finds. According to the study released by the Pew Internet and American Life Project, 43% of dial-up users with more than 6 years of internet experience say they want broadband. A year ago, 53% said they did. Meanwhile, the percentage of internet users with high-speed connections at home grew to 31% in March, reflecting 30 million people, or 16% of all Americans. That's up from 21% of internet users with broadband in March 2002. The findings suggest that many of the people who want broadband have it by now, shrinking the pool of potential customers, said Lee Rainey, director of the Pew Project. Although some aren't getting broadband because they live in rural or other areas where it isn't available, Rainey said the bigger factor is price. They don't see a compelling reason to spend as much as twice the cost of a dial-up line. The study also found a slight shift among broadband users towards cable modems. In March, 67% connected through cable, up from 63% a year earlier. By contrast, 28% used DSL, down from 34% a year earlier. Although the percentage dropped, there is overall growth for DSL, 9 million users in March, up from 7 million. That compares with 21 million cable modem users this March. The study was based on a random telephone survey of 1,495 Americans. The result has a margin of error of plus or minus 3 percentage points. A Harvard University researcher has completed an investigation of the Gator advertising utility, offering a glimpse into the workings of one of the web's most controversial pop-up networks. Gator is a utility, sometimes derided as spyware, that monitors a user's web browsing activity and displays relevant advertisements. Until this week, the service promised advertisers that it could slap promotions onto a computer screen when a reader visited a competitor's website. According to the Harvard report, pop-up advertisements for Sun Microsystems' powerful V880 server, boasting "See how Sun beats IBM," are aimed at Gator users who visit IBM.com. In the cutthroat travel business, Orbitz Travelocity.com, Priceline.com, and Cheap Tickets have purchased pop-ups with Gator that users see when they visit arch-rival Expedia. Expedia, in turn, uses Gator to aim its own bargain fares at all four of its major competitors' sites. The report provides some data as to how much advertising Gator is showing and to whom it's targeted, said the author Ben Edelman, who's testified as an expert witness against Gator in at least one legal challenge to its service. The personal computer is overtaking the television, stereo, and other home entertainment devices now that digital content such as MP3 music tracks, digital photos, and digital video has become mainstream. That's according to a survey conducted by Harris Interactive for Microsoft. The survey, which polled more than 2,000 computer users over the age of 13, found that the computer is redefining the way people are entertaining themselves at home. The results revealed that 61% view the PC as more important than the home stereo, while 43% see it as more important than the television. The survey is important for Microsoft because it offers a glimpse into consumers' minds about not only what they're doing with the PC, but what they'd like to do with it in the future. Not surprisingly, teenagers aged 13 to 17 were more interested in using the PC for a whole house experience than respondents aged 18 and older. Among teenagers, 73% said they want to access music files on their PC from anywhere in the home, compared with 35% of the adult respondents. Likewise, 52% of teens are interested in having a home network to connect multiple devices in the home, such as televisions and stereos, to the PC, compared with 35% of the adults. Microsoft scored a coup over rival Real Networks last week when e-commerce giant Amazon.com picked its Windows Media Services 9 series software to play its song samples for music shoppers. Financial terms of the deal weren't revealed. Amazon selected Windows Media in large part because of its fast streaming technology, a feature included in Windows Server 2003 that offers an instant on-playback experience for folks who use Windows Media Player 9 series to sample music files offered through Amazon.com. Fast streaming eliminates pesky buffering for broadband users and provides improved playback responsiveness for dial-up users. LoudEye will provide encoding for the deal, which extends to Borders.com, CDNow.com, and VirginMega.com, all of which are powered by Amazon.com. LoudEye hosts a digital music archive with access to more than 3.3 million music samples from more than 300,000 CDs. In Britain, people are beginning to pay for music on the net, but they are more likely to buy CDs online than individual tracks, research suggests. But figures from internet measurement firm Nielsen Net Ratings found that free download service Kazaa was still the most popular music site in the UK, followed by sites selling CDs rather than digital downloads. This will come as welcome news to the music industry, which has regarded the online delivery of songs as a threat to the sale of CDs. But the spectre of free file-swapping sites is still looming over both the music industry and websites trying to make a go of paid-for-downloads. Nielsen Net Ratings found that pay-for-music download sites are gradually beginning to increase their audiences. eMusic.com had 165,000 UK users in the first 3 months of the year. OD2.com managed to attract 523,000 visitors during April, helped by its second Digital Download Day, designed to introduce people to the concept of paying for music online. But free file-sharing service Kazaa is still dwarfing the efforts of paid-for websites, with an audience of over 1.3 million people in the UK in April alone. This made it by far the most popular music site in the UK. Despite the increasing worries of the industry that online music is putting a serious dent in the sale of CDs, the study found that online CD retailers were attracting higher audiences than any of the paid-for download sites. CD Wow was the second most popular music site in the United Kingdom during April, with 739,000 visitors, and HMV came in fourth, with 552,000 visitors. And that's News Briefs for this week.